I hope you have your Bible today. If you do, would you take it and find the book of Colossians? We've been talking about disciple making over the last 4 or 5 weeks, and today we're going to conclude that discussion as we look at what are some of the key elements in disciple making. By the way, students, thank you so much for taking the good news all the way to Arlington, Texas. Did you get to meet Miss Tilly Bergen? She's been doing that for decades. She just about has it down to a science, doesn't she? I got to know her back in the early 90s, and I was impressed with her then. I'm just as impressed with her today. I want you to be in prayer for another group of folks. We have 4 people that are headed tomorrow morning, Lord willing, across the globe to go to Malawi to plant the seed of the gospel over there in Malawi. And there has been some difficulty in the country. There's been some protests and some violence related to an election that took place back in May. And so there are some travel advisories, and we're going to do our very best to avoid any difficulty, any trouble. But we would covet your prayers for us as we go. Some are rightly concerned about this, and we just want you to know that we're doing everything we can do to be safe as we go. But we feel like we've got to go. I mean, we've got some work going on over there that just needs to be continued and encouraged. You know, we have an orphan feeding station over there called Manna House, and it's located in Machikaza Village, and they have just expanded their outreach so to include an adjacent village to Machikaza, and we are anticipating that the enrollment in that Manna House will grow from right now around 150 to 206 in the next few days. Also, the building is just about completed for Manna House number 2. And we already have 216 orphan boys and girls enrolled in Manna House 2. There is a possibility that we could begin feeding as early as next Wednesday. Not this coming Wednesday, Wednesday a week. I have already packed my suitcase, and I have a five-pound box of screws that the builder asked me to bring, and apparently that's the only thing holding up the whole show is that 5-pound box of screws. I hope you have your Bible open to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to stand together as we read from God's Word. I'm picking up with verse 28. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. We have in our congregation this morning a couple who are in San Antonio to join others as they grieve the loss of their grandson. I'm speaking of Vince and Brenda Vanji. I don't know where they're seated. I don't want to call attention to them, but I just want you to be in prayer for Vince and Brenda Vanji this week. They have gone through a prolonged period of concern and hope for their grandson, but the Lord took him home this week, and we want to be in prayer for them. Now, from this passage of Scripture that we have found, the apostle is explaining the rationale for his doing what he does. And what the apostle Paul is doing is he's explaining to a congregation that he has never visited why people like him and those he has sent out do what they do. There's a good lesson here for every one of us to help us remember what it is we as followers of Jesus Christ are to be about. Now, becoming a disciple of Jesus means simply following Jesus. It is very clear that this is a simple matter. It is not complicated. However, it is often lost in our effort to somehow make structural or make organized what we do. As a church, you can look at our weekly schedule and you can see a number of things going on. I mean, on a daily basis, there will be things going on in the life of this fellowship. If anyone tried to attend to every one of those things, they would be exhausted at the end of two or three days. It would be like extended vacation Bible school. So much doing, so much going, so much participating, so much planning, organizing, so much activity. But I'm not sure that we're always keeping in mind what it is essentially that we are supposed to be about. Hopefully, as we conclude this series from this text this morning, you'll be able to see what I believe are the five key elements of discipleship. And it begins with the very first word in this phrase, Him we proclaim. The very first thing that discipleship is about, the substance of it, the focus of it, and the source of it is the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we proclaim. This word is a combination of the word messenger, and it is a combination of the word according to. And so when it's put together, katangelo, this phrase, this construction of this word was used as early as the early church to describe what was taking place from the lives of the missionaries like the Apostle Paul and like Epaphroditus, who was the one who came on behalf of the Apostle Paul to the church at Colossae. What they were doing was they were proclaiming the good news, preaching it. Now, this good news is about Jesus Christ. If you ever have a difficulty remembering what the gospel is about, go back to square one, to back when you were in vacation Bible school, and the Bible school teacher would ask you a question, and you didn't know the answer to it, and you'd just say, Jesus. Because the truth is, when it comes to the message of the gospel, it is all about Jesus. It is about what Jesus Christ came to do and who he was and what he accomplished. That's the gospel message. It includes the fact that we have a specific need and that the Lord Jesus Christ has the only answer to that need. This is the gospel. What we proclaim is Jesus Christ. And in discipleship, we're doing no more and no less than describing, discussing, defining, and seeing who Jesus Christ is, especially from his word. We proclaim wonderful news would be one way to translate this word proclaim. Discipleship, while it is a process that is going on between believers, it is ultimately going on between an individual and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's put us in a family, in a church body. And within this church body, we are to be directing our conversation about the Lord Jesus Christ with and to one another. What do we talk about at church? Well, we talk about a lot of things, but there is one thing we are given a responsibility to talk about in church, and that is, say it with me, Jesus. Exactly. So the first word is proclaiming. Discipleship is about proclaiming. And then he follows it with another term. It's the term teaching. You'll see it in verse 28 as we read on. He says in verse 28 that him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching. Now I'm going to come back to the word warning in just a minute because it is tied here with teaching. Some translations use, instead of the word warning, use the word admonishing. But let's go to the word teaching. The Greek word for teaching is didasko, and it means simply to instruct. But when it's combined with this word warning or admonishing, it is a very interesting word. It starts with the word nuos, which means mind, and then it follows with the word that means organize. So what we are doing when we are teaching, when we're training people as followers of Jesus Christ, we are organizing the mind of an individual. We are having our minds organized around the Lord Jesus Christ. We are organizing our mind with respect to the truths that he taught and the things that he did. How can you know what would Jesus do unless you know what Jesus did? That's what discipleship and development of a disciple means. Admonishing people means to set the mind in order. Look over in chapter 3 of this same book. In verse 16, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing." Do you see that? There's the same word. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. So what we've done right here, Robert, wherever you went, Robert, what we've done this morning is we have tried to organize our minds. We've tried to line them up through the singing of hymns and the singing of spiritual songs to and with one another so that we would be discipled. Yes. Even in worship, we are teaching people. We are leading them to a fuller understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is discipleship. Then he uses another term here in verse 28 when he says that we are teaching, warning everyone, teaching them with all wisdom. By the way, that's what James said. He said, pray for it, ask for it. And with the wisdom that we have and the wisdom that we get, we do this teaching for the purpose of presenting everyone mature. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things about this phrase, mature. The word for here for mature is really somewhat of an eschatological word, that is an end of the picture kind of word. It is the word telos. And we translate it mature because it is what we have in our minds as our destiny. But in fact, it's what God has in his mind for our destiny. It is our growing up in Christ Jesus. But I want you to notice another thing. He says that his desire, his goal as a follower of Jesus Christ is that he may present who? Everyone. In fact, three times in these two verses, the word everyone is used. He said, we proclaim him, warning everyone, teaching everyone that we may present everyone. How many of you does God want to grow up, mature, develop, in Christ? How many of you? Everyone. By the way, let me just say this. not just every one of you, but literally everyone. That is why we proclaim to everyone. When we preach the gospel, we're preaching a message that is for all people. The Lord Jesus Christ came and died for the sins of the world because He wanted all people to come to Him in faith. So we proclaim the message to all people. That's why we preach the message here in the confines of this building, why we preach the message door to door in the homes and lives of people, both in our neighborhoods and where we work and where we go to school. We tell the gospel, why we go to Arlington and to Malawi and to China and tell the story of the good news, because it is for everyone. But it is also the purpose of God that everyone grow up in Christ Jesus. That's the church's job. That's your duty and my duty, not only to be discipled, but to be making disciples of every person. I want you to look at the very next verse. In verse 29, he moves from these three items that we've just discussed to the fourth item in verse 29. It's kind of an unusual word. He says, for this I toil. Now the word there for toil is the simple word labor. I'm working hard. This is my labor. But notice the next word, struggling. Struggling. You ever do a job that it's hard work? Not only is it hard work, it's hard to do. Hard job that's hard to do. Years ago, well, I guess I could just say it, 85,000 miles ago on my truck, because that's when it happened, I decided it was time for me to change the spark plugs. I don't know why, but I felt like it needed a change of spark plugs. And so I got out some tools and I started breaking away. And I thought, how in the world did they even get this engine in this truck? Because I can't get my hand in it. And after scraping knuckles and getting seven of the spark plugs out and put back in, I came to the very last spark plug on the passenger side back. And folks, I just couldn't figure it out. I was utterly frustrated. Not only is it hard to work on things over your head, but it's hard to work on things under a dirty truck when every time you move, dirt falls down in your face. And I'm a preacher, I'm not a worker. It's not my thing. I said it. So I did what any person would do. I went on YouTube. Was I the only person in the world that had trouble getting to that back spark plug? Turns out, no, I was. Somebody up there said, no, they've done it. You've been there. It's a Chevrolet. It's a GM product. You can't get to it. There is a unique tool, and it bends like four times, and you're supposed to be able to. I didn't have that tool, and I wasn't going to buy it. So I found some East Texas brother that rednecked his way into getting that spark plug out, and I watched it. In fact, I took my phone underneath there and I did it while watching him do it. He cussed and I just let his account for mine. Every now and then I'd say, hey, why don't you say something appropriate for the, and he would, you know. And I finally got that spark plug out, and then I had to get the next one in. It was just as hard as getting it out to begin with. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Discipleship is like that. And I don't care who you are. You are just that hard to disciple. Every one of us is difficult to disciple because it's contrary to our nature. We are fighting against the nature of our flesh. We're fighting against the bent of this culture. It's hard. It's frustrating. And Paul uses this term to help us understand that what he was doing and what we were called to do is going to be a challenge. No doubt about it. For that reason, because it's contrary to our nature, most people never follow through with being discipled. I don't know how many times I've talked to people, older folks and who've been Christians a long time, and they say, I've never been discipled. Hogwash. You may not have had some formal setting of discipleship, but you've been discipled. And besides that, you've got the Bible. What excuse do you have? Yes, it's much better if we have a formal relationship in which we can be discipled, but make no mistake about it, it is contrary to all of us. My wife's gotten on a kick of watching Western movies, and in some of these shows, they like to show breaking horses. Now, I've never broken a horse. I've been thrown from one, but I've never broken one. But apparently, it's a challenge. You've kind of got to bear with that horse until it finally gives up, gives in, and then it's considered broken. With dogs, it's called forcing. You force a dog. You make them bend to the will of the master, of the owner. And folks, that wouldn't have to happen if dogs and horses came with our will in them. But dogs and horses don't come with our will in them. They have to be broken. They have to be trained. And it's contrary to their nature. How much more is the nature of God Himself contrary to our human nature? That is exactly the kind of difficulty we're facing when we seek to grow in Christ and when we seek to lead others to grow in Christ. It is a matter of will. And I want you to remember that that is precisely what discipleship is. It is conforming our will to the will of God Himself. It's putting our nature down and elevating His mind and His nature in ourselves. So we toil and we struggle. And finally, the last word I want you to see is in verse 29, the latter part. It's not that this word is found there, but it is clearly indicated here when he says, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. This is one of the most difficult texts I have ever translated for myself. It's hard to make any sense out of it. And part of the reason is the fact that it uses the same kinds of words three times. It uses the same word twice, and it uses a synonym again. It uses a synonym the third time. He writes, I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works in me, energia, energeo. These are the words of the plan that he has and the carrying out of that plan. And then he says he's powerfully working this plan out in me. My translation would go something like this: to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Do you see that? I'm not working this. I'm not doing this. I am depending on Him. The Spirit of God lives in us. The discipline that we have to apply to ourselves is to stay out of the way of God the Holy Spirit, whose power within us will transform us. Discipleship is learning to let God do what God desires to do in us. Now let me close with an application. Because a sermon that just sounds good and changes no one is no good. no matter how good it sounds. I appeal to every man in this congregation, whether you're a member of this congregation or not. I appeal to every man. Become a part of a discipleship partnership. If you have not already committed yourself to do it, commit to do it today. There is nothing on the face of this planet that we spend our time in this lifetime doing that is more consequential than being conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. In what way are you conforming yourself to the image of Christ Jesus? The God-instructed way of doing it is in friction with other believers. Not faction, friction. As iron sharpens iron. You see what I'm saying? Do you have a kind of relationship where you can strike against someone else and they strike against you, and in the process sharpen one another, hone one another to be a more useful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, please go back at the end of this service to the table that's set up in the lobby. You'll see the word multiply on that table. There you can register, you can sign up and say, I want to be a part of it. We'll partner you with someone. The two of you will work out the details. We'll give you the literature that you need. There's really no need for any literature, but if you need literature, we can give you the necessary literature. And you can begin a relationship, maybe with someone you don't even know. That might be the best. So that you can get in the process of growing in Christ Jesus. There are three things I want you to do. I want you to stand up, men, not right now. I want you to stand up and say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I want to be a better follower of Jesus Christ. I want you to sign up. I want you to go to the back of the doors, go out the lobby, and find the table that says multiply. And then the third thing I want you to do is I want you to show up. When you've committed to be in a partnering relationship over the purpose of discipleship, you've got to be there. You've got to show up to do it. Yes, it's time consuming. Yes, it can be difficult. He's already made that clear. I hope I have too. It's not easy, but it's worth it. Stand up, sign up, show up. Matt, would you stand up? Where are you, bud? There's Matt Ryan. Matt's my go-to man for multiply. He's going to be in fact, won't you go there right now? If you want to go with Matt right now, you can. Just don't go to the parking lot. Go to the lobby. You say, hey, you're being very sexist about this, not offering this to women. Well, just be patient. Be patient with me. I'm not trying to be. But I am convinced, folks, that if we do not get a hold of men, we will not keep our families or the church. And if we lose our families and we lose the church, this country's lost, and who knows how many more won't hear the gospel if the churches of this country go down. Let's pray together. Heavenly